So we're going to begin with Masechta Shabbos. Okay, I mean, I guess Shabbos doesn't really need much of an introduction. We're going to begin, now most of the Masechta, Tosfos points out, goes in a fairly logical order. You start with the Uli Prakim, you said the second Mishnah after the foot. We're going to deal with why we start with this first one, which you see as a Shabbos first, but after that, it starts out talking about things not to do before Shabbos. For example, that a tailor is not allowed to walk out on Erev Shabbos with his needle stuck in his clothing because he may carry it on Shabbos, and various other things that you're allowed and not allowed to do before Shabbos. That takes up most of the first parak. Then you have lighting Shabbos candles is the second parak, putting up food to stay warm over Shabbos, which is also something that you prepare before Shabbos, right before Shabbos. You put up your pots, you put up your pots on the blech, you put them, whatever that's going to be. That topic is going to be the subject of the third and fourth parak, the third parak about keeping things on the fire or next to the stove or whatever, and the fourth one about hasmana, about wrapping things up to insulate them. After that, you start with things that are noyig on Shabbos itself, what kind of things an animal can wear out in the street, what kind of things a person can wear out in the street. And then it starts talking about the malachas of Shabbos, and then from there, the seventh parak starts talking about the malachas, and then from there until the end of the 15th parak, basically, it's talking more or less in order about the malachas, about the details of the 39 malachas, and then the remaining prakim talk about various other dinim of Shabbos, dirabanan, and various other miscellaneous dinim. So most of it goes
past all the 39 malachas?
So more or less. I mean, some of them it deals with in more detail than others, but, that's why we're going to have the Gemara also. But the Mishnayos deals with some of them, for example, Hetzah, once we talk about in the seventh parak, there's a malacha of Hetzah, so then the remainder of the seventh, so the end of the seventh parak and all of the eighth and half of the ninth and then the tenth and the 11th are going to talk about different details within that, how much of a thing a person has to carry on Shabbos to be chayev and what kinds of carrying and throwing and whatever are also in Mutter.
That's covered in the first parak.
That's the thing. So the first Mishnah over here and the Gemara on it, which is going to go until Tesamon Aleph, are also dealing with that. So Tosfos actually begins with the question, why the Riva asked in Tosfos, why is this over here? Why is this Mishnah over here? It should have been later on, especially in the 11th parak, when we start talking about the dinim of throwing and stretching and reaching across a street or whatever, that would have been an appropriate place to teach this Mishnah Yetzias HaShabbos. So Tosfos mentions, Tosfos mentions a couple of possibilities. One of them is because from this Mishnah alone, we learn a lot of dinim. We learn a lot of details in the halacha of Hetzah, much more so than it would have been if we had begun with the Mishnah, let's say, about a tailor is not allowed to walk outside with a needle or whatever. We see from our Mishnah the whole concept of Hetzah b'achnasa, the whole concept that taking in from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYachid or vice versa is also, we see the whole matter of that you need Akira v'hanacha, that you need the picking up and the putting down, the same person has to do both to be chayev, the whole concept of Shnayim Shasur Akturim, the concept that a person's hand is like four amos. So you have a lot of different dinim. The concept that a person's hand is like neither Rishus HaRabim nor Rishus HaYachid. You have a lot of dinim that you learn from this Mishnah, and therefore the Tana wanted to put it first.
What does it speak about the jewelry about the hand going?
That's
going
to be the fifth parak. This is going to be the fifth parak for the jewelry of hand.
Yeah,
we're going to have that in the fifth parak. Yeah. That's one answer Tosfos gives. Another answer Tosfos says, and I'm right somewhat similarly, is because a Masechta often begins with the most common thing. Carrying out on Shabbos is much more common than carrying during the week, for that matter, is much more common that a person does than many other malachas and most of the other malachas that we're going to discuss in our Masechta. So therefore, the Tana wanted to start with that first. The Rambam gives a little bit of a different twist on it. It's more likely for a person to accidentally break that on Shabbos and carry rather than most other things, and therefore the Tana puts it first.
Is the reason why your Shabbos comes out the brachas, or
it's the beginning of Seder Moed. So it's the beginning of Seder Moed. So it's actually a new Seder. Brachas is Seder Zeroyim. Shabbos is already in Seder Moed. Zeroyim is the effect that talks about planting and the different dinim of agriculture. So we learned over there that brachas comes at the beginning of it for a number of reasons. One of them being that. A major topic of the Masechta was the brachas on food.
Right.
So therefore,
right.
so you have
right.
so So you have the bracha. So once we have the brachas on food, then we have the various other brachas in the morning. We also wanted to, it's appropriate that Rambam writes that just like a doctor tells a patient, you know, to give them a prescription for what to do to be healthy. So the same way that Chacham like wanted to start off with a prescription for us to say Krishna, to accept O Malchus Shemayim, before we get into the nitty gritty of details of halachas and how to live our day and how to whatever. There's also the idea. The whole Seder Zroim is emuna. Rabbi Gerari mentioned it last night. Actually, that we're going to learn later on in our Masechta that Seder Zroim is called emuna. Mamin b'chehar ilam b'zereya. A person trusts in Hashem and he plants and trusts in Hashem to give him a crop. So therefore, it's appropriate to begin with a Masechta that talks where we. It's appropriate to start out with talking about Krishma, which is where we declare our emuna in Hashem. But now, that was Seder Zroim. Now we're beginning with Seder Moed. And the Rambam writes, it's most logical to begin Seder Moed, but Shabbos, because whenever you find, whenever in many places where the Torah lists the Moedim, for example, in Parshas Emor, and in Parshas Emor and other places, it mentions Shabbos. So therefore, it's logical to begin with Shabbos first, right?
Moed
literally means time, like an appointed time. It does to a certain extent, but I mean in general. So Moed includes all the special times on the calendar. So it includes Shabbat. Includes Shabbos once a week, and it includes all the various Yom Tovim. And then it also includes that we're going to see, as we go through the Seder, as the Shem, there are other Masechtas in there that aren't specifically tied to a Yom Tov. For example, Shkolim. There's no particular Yom Tov of Shkolim. But there is. It happens during a certain time of year. During Adar is when they collect the shkolim, so therefore it went into the Seder.
Oh, kind of the thing is they collect the shkolim for each
for, for the Master Shekel during Adar. Yeah.
That's what we do again.
So therefore we give Master Shekel on the day before Purim, but yeah. So that's we're in Seder Moed. So that's why we start off with Shabbos. Anyway, then Tosfos gives a third answer why we're beginning with Yetzias HaShabbos of all things, which is that Hoitzah is what's called a Malacha Grua. The Gemara itself calls it that. It's like a weak Malacha. In what way is it a weak Malacha? So Tosfos talks about that it's weak in the sense that, for example, so what are we saying? What's also on Shabbos? You're not allowed to carry between Rishos HaYochid and Rishos HaRabim, Nidar Raisa. Forget about Karmelis for the moment. That's the Rabbanim. We'll talk about that as we go through the Gemara. You're also not allowed to carry four amas in Rishos HaRabim. But like, what's the logic? Why should it be usur to carry between one Rishos and another, or between to carry in Rishos HaRabim, but it wouldn't be usur equally well, let's say, to carry from one Rishos HaYochid to another? Midaraisa, there's no problem carrying from one Rishos HaYochid to another. It's only midrabanan. You have the whole concept of an eruv. They have to make an eruv chaseris between them, but that's not on daraisa level.
Yeah,
if let's say, for example, we're next door neighbors. I'm allowed to carry something from my house to yours through the chaser between us, let's say, on the daraisa level. There's no problem with it. Only the rabbanon do we need an eruv chaseris. So in that sense, like the question is, so why should it be? What would be the logic that certain kinds of hitzah are also and certain other kinds of mutter? So in that sense, it's malacha grua. It's like a weak malacha. Other Rishonim talk about also that it's a weak malacha in the sense all the other malachas, all the other 38 malachas, you're actually changing something. You're making a fire. So before you had firewood and now you have a fire and ashes. You're building. So before you had a pile of bricks and now you have a building, etc. With all the other malachas, you're changing something in the state of what you're working on. So it's a regular malacha. Whereas over here, you're carrying something from one rishus to another. You're not changing it in any way. Not only it doesn't take much to do it, but that's another point. Also, why is a malacha grua? Why is it, for example, now the Rebbe mentions this at the end of Igeres HaKodesh, why is it, for example, that you're allowed to carry a very heavy thing within your house, but you're not allowed to carry a little tiny thing between Rishos HaYochid and Rishos HaRabim? See, and you're not transforming it. So for all these reasons, it's called Malacha Grua. And therefore, the Tosfos gives a third answer. That is precisely why the Tana wanted to begin with that Malacha to stress that even that is a Malacha as well, right? Alpichsidus, there's the idea like this. The whole concept, what's the whole concept of that we have the malach, we know we're going to learn later on in the Masechta that all the malachas that are also on Shabbos are all the ones they did to build the Mishkan. No. So the idea is like this. You have, during the week, our job is lasas leis barach yirav atachonim. So you have a reshus ha-rabim. You have things that seem to belong to the rabim, to all the different forces in the world that don't bespeak alakus. Then you have the reshus ha-yachid, the reshus of the one unique Hashem. And during the week, our job is to carry things from reshus ha-rabim into reshus ha-yachid and make them kelim for alakus. And we do that in the same way. They made the Mishkan with the prototype of that. They took the physical objects, that the gold, silver, and copper, etc., and built a house for Hashem out of them. And during the week, that's our job also, each in our own way, is we take the world and turn it into a keli for Elikus. Shabbos, we have to remember, we have to realize that the world is on a higher level. The world is closer to Elikus on Shabbos. Therefore, Shabbos is not a day to be milah things from the world, because adrabah, if you do that, then you're saying, as a Shabbian, you're saying that Shabbos, the world is no different than the rest of the week. You're saying, in fact, it talks about considers, in that case, if a person does malacha on Shabbos, it amounts to saying that there's a hole in Elikus, that the world exists outside of Elikus, and therefore that you need to raise it up to Elikus. That's why we have the expression, chilul Shabbos. The word cholol literally means a hole or an empty space, like we had at the end of brachas, the kavim b'kavim chalulim chalulim. So a cholol literally means an empty space. So when a person is mechalol Shabbos, it means like he's saying that this world is a space empty of alakus on Shabbos, and you can't do that. So therefore, so hoitzah is actually the reason why it goes first among the malachas, is because it's sort of a prototype for all the other malachas. All the other malachas, the purpose of doing them during the week and the purpose of not doing them on Shabbos is to bring them from the reshus of the world into the reshus of Hashem, and that's not what we're not supposed to be doing on Shabbos. Because on Shabbos, the world itself is the reshus of Hashem.
That's awesome. But it's just saying you shouldn't do it.
No, but that's the point. In other words, that the reason why we begin with the malacha of Haitzah is because ultimately all the malachas that we do are meant to be that kind of thing. Every other malacha, every one of the 38 other malachas that we do during the week and we don't do on Shabbos is that kind of thing. The bringing things from one domain, from the Rosh Hashanah, into the domain of Hashem, into Rosh Hashanah, and Haitzah, therefore, itself is a malacha because that represents that whole concept. You actually have, there's a medrash, and the medrash along those lines, where at the Turnus Rufus it is, asks Rabbi Akiva, you know, you say that Hashem keeps all the mitzvahs that you do, so how is it, for example, that Hashem makes it rain on Shabbos, and makes, people are born, you know, et cetera, many, many different things happen, and then basically Rabbi Akiva answers him that the same way as you're allowed to carry in your own chaser on Shabbos, the same way the whole world is Hashem's chaser. So how does that explain anything? In your own chaser, you're still not allowed in your own chaser to water plants, let's say, or to water plants or do any of the other malachas. But that's the answer, because the whole purpose of all those other malachas is hatzah, is achnasim, reshus for reshus, bringing in or taking out from one reshus to another, bringing into Hashem's reshus. If the whole world is Hashem's reshus, then the whole concept of malacha has no meaning relative to Hashem when it comes to Shabbos. Because the whole world then becomes Hashem's Rishus. And therefore, the same way as within a person's body, for example, you have, let's say, a person is eating and digesting food and all kinds of chemical processes are happening with it, which you wouldn't, on Shabbos, which you wouldn't be allowed to do outside, the same way over here. It's all within Elikus. So with that, let's begin the Mishnah. Mishnah says, Yitzias HaShabbos, the goings out of Shabbos, meaning the goings out, meaning the taking things out from one Rishus to another. The Gemara is going to end up explaining that the word Yitzias over here also includes Hachnosis, also includes bringing things in from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYachid. You shouldn't think that Yitzias only means bringing things outward, out to the street. No, it also. So Shayin Shein Arba B'Fnim, there are two which end up being four inside, or Shayin Shein Arba B'Chutz, and two which end up being four outside. So what does that mean? Rashi over here explains that what it means is that you have the person standing inside, as we're going to have in the example in the Mishnah, the Mishnah is going to give the Balabas standing inside and the Ani standing outside. So you have the one who's standing inside, the Balabas. There's two things that he could be doing that would be awesome in our Torah, sending something out to Rosh Hashanah and bringing something in from Rosh Hashanah. And then you have, so that's Shtayim, for which he'd be Chayiv Chatos, if it's B'Shogiv, or chorus of skill of amazing, and you have then Shehein Arba, then you have Midrabbanon. There's two more things that he could do that are also Midrabbanon, but not Minat Torah, namely, as we're going to say in the Mishnah, when he reaches outward with the thing and the Oni takes it from him, or when the Oni reaches over the Oni reaches in and he takes something from him. So those, so that's Shtayim Shein Arba Bifnim, two which are four for the person standing inside, two which are Chayav D'Araisa, and two which are only also D'Rabbanan. That's what Rashi explains over here. Then in this Gemara is also, this Mishnah is also brought in the Sefer Shavuos, and in fact in all Gemara, we're going to quote a Mishnah from Shavuos in that connection. So Rashi and Tosfos there give a couple of other explanations. One is that, Rashi and Tosfos over there discuss a couple of other possible explanations, what it means, Shtayim Shein Arba Bifnim, or Shtayim Shein Arba Bachot. One is that the shtayim are the hutzah of the hutzah derai, the one that's also deraisa, and the hutzah that's also derabanan. One where there's an akira and hanocha, and one where there's only an akira without hanocha, and similarly with hachnasa, one deraisa and one derabanan. So in other words, according to that, the shtayim are the things where you're sending something out, and the shein arba includes also the ones where you're bringing something in.
Mission for the balabas puts out his hand.
Yeah.
There's nothing in his hand, and then he puts it in the channel and he takes it in.
So that's what we're going to discuss that in Mishnah. That's one of the ones that's also did Rabbanan, because now the Oni did the Akira and the balabas did the Hanocha. But wait, we'll get to that. So that's another explanation. Tosfos over there in Shavuos talked about a couple of other possibilities. One very interesting one is that Bifnim can mean bringing things in, and Bachutz can mean bringing things out. Tosfos also mentions another very interesting one, that Bifnim means things for which a person would be chayav a korban that is brought inside the Beis Mikdash. So therefore, another Shayim Shein Abba Bifnim would mean there are two cases where a person is chayav a korban if he did it on Shabbos for Shogeg, that's when the korban chasas, and two others that are Bachutz. And then two others that are bachutz, where he doesn't actually have to bring a korban because it's only also did abanan. And then you have two like that for the balabas and two for the ani. That are two that are chayiv midaraisa and two that are chayiv and two that are also only did abanan. So those are various possibilities of what bifnim and bachutz mean in this connection. So keisad, what does this mean? How does this work? Ha'ani oimid bachutz balabais bifnim. Suppose you have the poor person standing outside the house and the balabas standing inside the house. And one reason why we're using the scenario of an Oni and an Osher, the Bar Tanura explains, in order to stress to us that even a mitzvah ba'avera is Osher. Don't think that you're giving tzedakah to the poor person, therefore you can override the dinim of Shabbos. No, you still have to be careful with the dinim of Shabbos, with Hatzalah and Achnasah. So case number one, Pasha to Onias Yodei Lefnim, if the poor person sticks his hand into the house through the window, let's say, the Nosan Lefnim Yodei Shabal Bayis, and he puts something that was in his hand into the hand of the Balabas, Oshin Nosan Mitocha Vahoti, or there was something in the Balabas's hand and the Oni took it out, Ha Oni Chayv Balabayis Potter. So then in both of those cases, those are two of the cases where the Oni is going to be Chayv, and the Balabas is going to be Potter because the Oni... The Oni over here is going to be chayav because he did the entire malacha. The malacha of Hatzah and Achnasah includes two components: Akira, picking something off the ground and wherever it was, and Hanocha, placing it down in the other rishus. And over here, the Oni did the entire thing. He had something in his hand, which the Gemara is going to end up explaining that his hand, well, let's say there was a basket, but the Gemara is also going to end up explaining that his hand counts like a place of 4x4 hours. So therefore, because we're going to see in the Gemara. We're going to discuss that involves that thing. It involves you picking something up from one rishus and you're carrying it and putting it down in another rishus. Which, by the way, for example, we're going to learn later on in the Masechta. Let's say, for example, you have, I don't remember if it's an on the Masechta or someplace else, but let's say, imagine, for example, you have a person is coming home on Shabbos with a package, carrying a big package, and it's almost Shabbos, and he's not going to have time to get home before Shabbos. In principle, what he can keep and continue doing, and that's actually brought in Shulchan Aruch, he continues running home, so this way, even when Shabbos comes, he hasn't done an Akira, because he was already carrying it before Shabbos began, and then when he comes home, then he throws it over the fence, to L'Achayad, in an unusual way, which then is not, then it's not also Daraisa, it's not a Malacha of carrying from Rishos to Rishos, Daraisa, because he did it in an unusual way, like he kicked it in, or he did it with his elbow, or whatever, and that way, at least he's avoiding being Mechal Shabbos on a Daraisa level, because you need both Akira and Hanocha. So in this case, the Oni did the entire Akira and Hanocha. he took something from Rishus Rabim, from his hand, which the Gemara is going to tell us is considered life poet of Rishus Rabim, and he put it into the hand of the Balabas, or vice versa. So he did the Akira, and he did the Hanocha, therefore he's Chayim. The Balabas, meanwhile, is Potter. Now Rashi over here says, even the Hatchila is Mutter. This is one of those cases, like what I was going to say, that most of the time in Hilchot Shabbos, when we say potter, we usually mean it's potter from chatos or skila or what have you, but he's chayev, but he's also drabbanon. This is one of the few cases where it means that he's even mutter lachatchila. Although Tosfos actually points out, we mean he's mutter lachatchila in terms of Hilchot Shabbos. We don't mean in terms of, I mean, he's still over on Lifnei Iver, because he's still standing over there with something in his hand or something with his hand outstretched to take something. So he's over on Lifnei Iver. But in terms of Hilchot Shabbos, it's not. And therefore, what it means is, suppose the Oni in this scenario is a goy, then there's no issue. There's no issue of Lifnei Iver with a goy. So then the Balabas is perfectly allowed to stand there with something in his hand or with his hand open or whatever for the goy to put something in and out, because then the goy is doing the entire malacha and the Balabas is not doing anything else.
But in this case, the usher, his hand did not go past the window.
That's the point, right. He stayed inside, right. Okay. So those are the first two cases. So those are two cases where the Oni is chayav. Vice versa, poshet balabayis is yodeh lachutz v'nosam l'seif yodeh shal Oni. If, on the other hand, the balabas stuck his hand out of the window and put something into the poor person's hand, so he took something from the poor person's hand and brought it in, then it's the other way around. Now the balabas has done the entire malacha. Therefore, balabayis chayav v'oni poter. So they're exactly the opposite of the previous case.
Why do we need both?
So Tosfos asks that question, and the answer is, Tosfos says, we just discussed before you got here, that Hatsar Malacha Gruy. B'chlal, we were talking about the question why the Masechta begins with the dinim of Hatsar V'achnasa, when most of that topic is going to be discussed much later in the Masechta. Beginning in the seventh parak, we're going to be talking about all the ins and outs of the Malacha of Hatsar, especially in particular in the 11th parak, we're going to be really talking about the ins and outs of taking something from one reshus into another, and what exactly is also and what is not. So why is on the Sefer beginning with this Mishnah? So we said, Tosfos had given one reason, because among many reasons, is because Hatsar is what's called Malacha Grua. It's a weak Malacha, in the sense that, for example, it's hard to understand why is it you should be also to take something between reshus HaYachad and reshus HaRabim, but you're allowed to take something between one reshus HaYachad and another Rav Shabbos. Only Midrabanan do you need the concept of an Eruv. You can carry a very heavy thing within your own house, but you can't carry a little tiny needle out in the Shosar Abim. The fact that the thing itself doesn't even get changed when you carry it, unlike all the other 38 malachas, you're changing the status of the thing. So for all those reasons, Hatsar is what's called Malacha Grua. It's a very weak malacha, and therefore Tosfos says, because of that, we wouldn't necessarily, unlike with all the other malachas, we can derive logically. We can say, for example, once we have, let's say, a malacha, once we have a malacha, not to plow, let's say, for example, so we understand logically that also includes, let's say, not making holes in the ground, not for the purpose of planting. Once we have, let's say, a malacha of, of dosh, that you're not allowed to thresh grain, so we can understand logically from it that you're also not allowed to squeeze fruit for juice, etc. Many other things like that, we can deduce toldos of the malachas logically. Hatsar, being itself malacha grua, we wouldn't be able to deduce one rule from another, because if we were to try to deducing things, we would come up, let's say, for example, we would say, well, you're not allowed to carry from Rishus HaYachad to Rishus HaRabim or vice versa, so you shouldn't be allowed to carry from one Rishus HaYachad to another either. So therefore, the Tana needs to actually spell out for us all the cases, because otherwise we actually wouldn't know what is osur and what is mutter. So in both directions, therefore, the Tana needs to stress to us that it is a malacha. In fact, Tosfos points out, for that reason, you actually need two different psukim, one in Parshas Vayakhel and one in Parshas Bashalach, that from which we learn the dinim of carrying, for the same reason, because one of them would be taking in and the other one would be bringing out. You can't learn one from the other if you don't have actual psukim for it. Okay. Third case, posha to onius yodi lefnim. Suppose the oni sticks his hand inward. So he did the akira. He brought something from Rishus HaYachad into Rishus HaRabim, but he didn't put it down yet in Rishus HaYachad. V'noto balabayis mitocho. The balabas then took that thing out of his hand. So the balabas now did the hanocha, taking it from his hand and putting it in his house. So now the Oni did the Akira, the Balabas did the Hanocha.
It means that the Oni went up and told the window.
No, it means the Oni stuck his hand in through the window, but he didn't actually push it on and said it was him. He stuck it in through the window, but he didn't yet do a Hanocha. He didn't put it down in Rishus Yachin. So therefore, and we're going to see in the Gemara that in a certain sense, his hand is like neither Rosh Hashanah nor Rosh Hashanah. So you can't say as soon as he put it in his hand, it's already considered to be placed down in Rosh Hashanah because he didn't place it down yet. It's still in his hand. We're going to discuss that point in the Gemara. But so now when the Balabas takes it from him and puts it on the table or whatever, now that Oni did the Akira, they're removing it from one Rishus to another, but the Balabas did the Hanocha, the placing it down on the second Rishus. So this is a concept called Shnayim Shatza'ua Pturin, which we're going to discuss in more detail later on in the Masechta and the Tzaddik, that's the Shem, that if two people jointly do a Malacha, then it's also Midrabanan, but it doesn't make them Chayev on a Daraisa level.
When we say that the two steps, Akira and Anacha, when really it's three, there's Akira, Anacha, and when you transfer from one Rishus to another.
Fine, because if one...
So you have really three steps.
Okay, but in terms of...
If you did Akira and Anacha, you wouldn't do anything.
Well, okay, but Akira implies in one Rishus, and Anacha implies in the other Rishus. So automatically, yeah, you're right. I mean, yeah, well, you could conceivably have that one person does the Akira, then he gives it to some... Yeah, but ultimately you have, who's transferring it from Rishus to Rishus? One second. Whoever's transferring it from Rishus to Rishus, they're doing the Akira. They're doing the Akira from one Rishus. So therefore, that's part of the process of Akira.
Let's say you have three people. One does the Akira, the other one does the transfer, the third one does the Anacha. Who is Chayav in that case?
Nobody, because Shnayim Shatza'ua. But nobody on the grounds of Shnayim Shatza'ua. But I'm not even sure in your case that the first person would even be considered to have done an Akira, because the second person who took it from him is still in Rosh Hashanah. He's the one who's putting it in through the window. As we're going to learn in the Gemara, his hand is considered like Dalad al Dalad. So his hand is considered part of Rosh Hashanah, as we'll discuss the details in the Gemara tomorrow, Baruch Hashem. And therefore, to the first person, what did he do? He picked up something from Rosh Hashanah. Fine, not in and of itself is not Akira. Akira involves where you're picking it up and it's being transferred to another Rishus. It's all included in the concept of Akira.
If you have 10 people...
So again, nobody is Chayiv on a Daraisa level. Shnayim Shatza'u of Turin, that's what it means.
Well, so the guy's just running and he goes up the line there. He's not doing
it. Yeah, that's true.
That's my question.
As a matter of fact, that's correct. If a person is holding something in Rosh Hashanah and just holding it there and picking it up and putting it down, nothing happens. You're not doing any malacha. Not only that, you actually have a halacha in Shulchan Aruch that you're allowed to move something in Rosh Hashanah one time less than four amos. You have to be very careful that you don't take it outside four amos, because then you're over. But for example, let's say it happens sometimes. Well, you know, you're walking. Well, you can carry things less than 4 amos at a time. You have, for example, sometimes there are emergency situations where Reuven gives it to Shimon and Shimon gives it to Levi and so forth, and each one is carrying it less than 4 amos. Yes, you do have scenarios like that. Another example of that, we have to be very careful with that. Another example, practically speaking, you're walking down the street and, you know, they took out somebody's trash and you have the garbage cans are all over the sidewalk. You're allowed to push one of them a little bit aside, as long as you're not pushing it 4 amos. So in and of itself, that's not Akira. Akira involves where you're picking it up, where it's going to be transferred more than 4 amos or to another resource in the case.
So Akira means lifting and transfer.
Yes. So again, in this third case of the Mishnah, the Oni did the Akira, the Balabas did the Hanocha. Or the other way around, that the Balabas put something into the Oni's hand and then the Oni pulled his hand out of the window. So again, here you have the Balabas did the Hanocha, did the Akira. And the Oni did the Hanocha. So in that case, Shnei and Turin, both them are potter, because neither one did a complete Malacha.
It's a hair difference between the first case and the last case.
Well, that's the difference. Okay. A hair difference is where these things make a difference. That's what Tosfos is saying over here, that you can't derive one thing from another. Haitzah being a Malacha Grua, you need everything spelled out, because otherwise, if you tried to learn one thing from another, you'd come up with wrong conclusions. And the last case, Poshet Balabayas is Yodei Lachutz, if the Balabas sticks his hand outward, out of the window, and the Oni takes something out of it, or the Oni places something into the Balabas's hand, or rather the Balabas places something into the Oni's hand, outside the window, and then the Balabas pulls in his hand, Shneim Turin, again, both of them are potter for the same reason, because neither one did the Akira and the Hanocha.
What was this case?
The last case was that the Balabas stuck out his hand So he did the Akira, and then the Oni took something from it, which is the, and put it down, which is the Hanocha, or that or the Oni put something in it, and the Balabas took it in. So the Oni did the Akira, and the Balabas did the Hanocha. No, that was the way the Oni stuck his hand into the window, and the Balabas put something in, or took something out, and the Oni put his hand out. Here we're saying the other way around. The Balabas stuck his hand out. So it's the opposite of the previous case.
Same case, right.
Okay. So that's altogether, then therefore you have eight cases in the Mishnah. So that's when we said Shtayim Shein Arba B'Fnim, or Shtayim Shein Arba B'Chutz. So again, how exactly you break down, what are the Shtayim, what are the Arba? You have a few different explanations, Rashi and Tosfos, over here and in Shavuos, whether it means that the Shtayim refer to the Malachas D'Araisa that the Balabas is doing, versus the Arba refer to the Malachas D'Rabbanan that he's doing, and B'Chutz then refers to the inverse thing from the Oni. Or is it that the Shtayim Shein Arba B'Fnim refers to everything involving Hachnasa, involving bringing in, versus the Shtayim Shein Arba B'Chutz involves everything that involves taking it out? Or is it that Shtayim Shein Arba B'Fnim means things that are also Daraisa, which would make a person Chayav HaChatos inside the Azara, versus B'Chutz, where he's not obligated to bring a korban, but he still gets a punishment from Beis Din, if it refers to Mazin.
So those
are a few different possibilities of what Shtayim Shein Arba B'Fnim or Shtayim Shein Arba B'Chutz means. Either way, it all comes out to the same thing. We have eight cases in our Mishnah, but what exactly the Mishnah meant with the phrase Shtayim Shein Arba B'Fnim or Shtayim Shein Arba B'Chutz, you have these three or four different explanations between Rashi over here and Tosfos over here and Rashi and Tosfos and Shavuos.
So B'Fnim can mean where you stand?
B'Fnim can mean where the person is standing. It can mean where the object is being brought to. Where the object is being brought to, or it can mean inside the Beis Mikdash, so that is where a korban has to be brought. So those are the eight cases. So again, four of them are a person is chayiv chatos, two for the balabas, two for the ani. Because again, for the balabas, you have two cases where he's chayiv chatos, one where he stuck out his hand and put something into the ani's hand, second one where he took something from the ani's hand and brought it back inside. In those cases, both those cases, he did akira v'anocha. Then you have the Oni has the other way around, where he stuck in his hand and put something in the Balabas's hand, or he stuck in his hand and took something out of the Balabas's hand and took it out. So those are four cases, two for the Balabas, two for the Oni, where they're Chayav Chatos. And then you have two other cases for each one of them where each one did part of the Malacha, and therefore they're not Chayav Chatos, where the Oni stuck in his hand and the Balabas took something out of it, where the Oni stuck in his hand and the Balabas put something into it, where the Balabas stuck out his hand and the Oni took something out of it, or where the Balabas stuck out his hand and the Oni put something in it. So those are the eight cases. Okay. So most of it. Shnanhot was comparing and contrasting our Mishnah with a Mishnah in Shavuos that also mentions this and mentions a few other things where you have Shtayim Shein Arba. Shnanhot, and we learn in the first Mishnah of the Sefer Shavuos, Shavuos Shtayim Shein Arba. The shvua, where a person is chayav for bitris fasayim, where he made a shvua, and then the shvua turned out to be a false shvua, there are two cases, which are four, for which he's chayav, a korban olah v'yarin. So shtayim shein arba, because you have like this. The Torah tells us that the person is chayav, if he made a shvua, lahora olah hetiv, to do bad or to do good. So bad would be, for example, the person made a shvua, I'm not going to eat today. So he's doing bad for himself. And then in the end, he wound up eating. So then he was over on a shvua. Then you have lahetiv. For example, he said, I will eat today. And then he didn't. So that's the shtayim. Shehein arba. And from a ribui in the psukim over there, we can learn two more cases. That there can also be such shvuas in the past. You can have the person made a shvua. I did eat today and he didn't. Or I didn't eat today and he did. So therefore, that's shtayim shein arba. You have two that it says more or less explicitly in the pasuk, and two more that it doesn't say explicitly, but we learn from a ribui.
How can a shvua be considered a shvua when in the pasuk? There's no such thing.
No, there is, because we're saying that he said as a shvua, I ate yesterday, or I didn't.
That's not a shvua.
That is a shvua. I swear that I ate yesterday. That is a shvua.
Okay, it's shvua all life.
But if he didn't eat yesterday, then it's a false shvua. And if he says I didn't eat yesterday and he did, then it's also a false shvua. Yeah. But so those kinds of things are also, if a person did that, he'd be chayav of a korban olah v'yarin. Then you also have, the Mishnah there also continues, yedias ha-tuma shtayim shein arba, the ways in which a person knows about being tomei is also two which are four. Namely, again, as far as a korban olah v'yarin, you have the case where a person forgets that he was tomei and enters the Beis Mikdash who eats kodshim. So then he's chayav of a korban olah v'yarin. Now you have like this. When it comes to Tumas Mikdash Rekodjav, you have a unique thing. You have to have what's called Yediyah B'Tchila, the Yediyah B'Sof B'Helem and Time. It has to be that to begin with, he knew that he was Tomei, and that this is a Bais Mikdash. He then forgot that he was Tomei, or that this is the Bais Mikdash, and then he went in. And then later on, he remembers that he was Tomei, and that he was in the Bais Mikdash. That is when he's Chayim and a Korban Olav Yoreh. No, he remembered later on. Well, if you remember, they are the same thing, I guess, yeah. Then you have to leave as soon as possible. It discusses in the Sefer Shavuot over there, yeah. So, but as opposed to, you have other cases. You have cases where he never knew to begin with. You have cases where he never remembers later on. You have cases where he never knew B'chwal, he was Tomei. So the Mishnah describes over there how the various Chatoris Tzibur that are brought throughout the year, the ones from Meshchodesh, the ones from Yom Tov, various ones from Yom Kippur, are Mechaper for such cases. But where he had Yediyah B'Tchilah, Yediyah B'Sof, the Helam and Tayim, then he himself has to bring his own Korban Olav Yoreh. So you have the two over there. So the Shtayim Shein Arba are, number one is where he knew that he was Tomei, and then he forgot that he was Tomei, and he ate the Kodesh. So that's one. And another one is that he knew that he was Tomei, but he forgot that this is Kodesh. And then he went in, and then he ate Kodesh, and then he remembered later. So that's Shtayim. And Shehein Arba, you can also, the Shtayim, rather, are one involving the Bais Mikdash, and one involving Kodesh. So where the two are where he knew that he was Tomei, and he knew that this is Kodesh, then he forgot that he was Tomei, and he ate the Kodesh, and then he remembered, that's one case. Same thing with the Bais Mikdash, that's the second case. And then you have a third, then you have Shein Abba, you have a third and a fourth case, where he remembers the whole time that he's Tomei, but he forgot that this is Kodesh, or he forgot that this is a Mikdash. So then also he's Chayev for those.
So two cases
involving Kodesh and Mikdash, where he remembers, right. He remembers that this is Kodesh, but he forgets that he was Tomei. So, while having forgotten that he was Tomei, he forgets and goes into the Bais Mikdash or eats the Kodeshim. Those are two cases. And two more cases where the whole time he remembers that he's Tomei, but he forgot that this is Kodesh or that this is the Bais Mikdash. So you wind up altogether with four possibilities. The truth is you actually wind up with more possibilities than that, because you also have more permutations than that. You also have cases where he forgot that he's Tomei and that this is Kodesh. But in terms of where he remembered one or the other, you have only four. You have Shtayim that are said explicitly in the pasuk that he forgot that he was Tomei, and two more that we learned from a Riboy where he remembered that he was Tomei but forgot that this thing he's not supposed to be eating. That's Shtayim Shein Arba. Again, two that it says explicitly in the pasuk, and two that we learned from a Riboy. And then the Mishnah says over there, Maris Megoyim Shtayim Shein Dalid. When it comes to colors of Tzaraas, also there are two which are four. Namely, the Pesuk mentions you have Se'es and Baheres, which are two bright white colors. Baheres is the color Rashi brings from the Mishnah and Megoyim, that Baheres is the color of pure white snow. And then you have Se'es is the color of clean white wool, so there's slightly different shades of white. Less Shtayim. And then the Pesuk also mentions something called Sapachas. Sapachas means something auxiliary, something secondary. So we learn from that Se'es and Baheres are the two primary types. Then you have what's called Sapachas, where Sapachas is not in and of itself a third type of Tzaraas. It means something auxiliary, something secondary to Se'es and Baheres. Namely, both Baheres and Se'es have a secondary color, slightly duller, which is also Tomei. The Sapachas, the secondary one of Baheres, is like the plaster that they used for the Heichel, which was a very clean white plaster. The Sapachas of Se'es is like the membrane of an egg, meaning not the egg white, but rather you have when there's a clear membrane that you have right inside the eggshell. So therefore, you also have Shtayim Shein Arba, two that it says explicitly in the Pasuk, and two more that we learn from the word Sapachas. And the Mishnah says, Yitzias HaShabbos, Shtayim Shein Arba, and then you have, as it said in our Mishnah, Yitzias HaShabbos, so there are two which are four, as we discussed in the Mishnah. So the question is, Why is it an on Mishnah? It doesn't just say there are two which are four. It spells out there are two which are four inside, there are two which are four outside. So it gives the details. Why over there in Shavuos does it only mention Shayim Shein Abba? Why doesn't it say the same thing? Like, unlike all the other ones, unlike Shavuos, we only have two which are four, and there's no further subdivisions with that. And unlike Yediyas HaTumah, where there's no more than four, and Maris Negoyim, unlike that with Shabbos, you have there's Bifnim and Bachutz. The answer is Hocha the Ikka Shabbosu, because over here Or Masechta is the primary place where we're going to discuss Hilchos Shabbos. So therefore, Tani Ovis for Tani Tolis. Therefore, our Mishnah doesn't just want to mention the Av Malacha. The Mishnah also wants to mention the Tolda. We know that every Av Malacha has Tolda's. In fact, there's an interesting Yerushalmi that says that every Malacha has 39 Tolda's. You wind up with altogether, when you consider the number of things that are also on a Daraisa level, 39 times 39. So I have 1,500 and some. But every Malacha has Tolda's. But over here, the Tana wants to stress not only the Ovos, but also the Tolda's, which is not only the taking something out into Rosh Hashanah Abim, and also the bringing in from Rosh Hashanah Abim to Rosh Hashanah Abim. Again, because like Tosfos said on Amud Aleph, given that Hotzah is Malacha Grua, given that it's a weak Malacha, we wouldn't realize even that it had Tolda's unless the Tana spelled it out for us. Hossam, the Lav Ikka Shabbosu, over there in Masechta Shavuos. It's not the primary place it's talking about Shabbos. It only mentions it because it's mentioning all the Shtayim Shein Abbas, so it also takes the time to mention Shabbos. Ovis Tani, Tolda Slo Tani, so therefore it only mentions the Ovis. It doesn't mention the Tolda. So therefore it just focuses on that you have Shtayim Shein Arba without getting into the details, meaning you have two which are four, where you have, in other words, altogether there are four cases that can be considered Ovis. And you don't have, we're not concerned over the fact that there are told us that there are also four more cases, All we want to focus on is that over there is the others, namely you have two cases which are an Av Malacha Daraisa and also two more cases which could lead to an Av Malacha Daraisa and therefore the Chacham Asur, namely one person doing the Akira and the other doing the Hanacha. We're not focusing on the fact that you also have four more cases that involve bringing in from the other Rishus, because that's not the primary place where we're talking about Shabbos. Over here.
Right, here.
Yeah. Over here we do. So therefore, the Mishnah has to mention everything. So the question is, if you're going to say Ovis versus Tolda's, Ovis my Nihu, okay, then what is the Av Malacha in this connection? You see it. The Av Malacha is the taking something out from Rosh Hashanah Yachid to Rosh Hashanah Abim, because that is what it spells out in the Pasuk. When you have the Pasuk, what's one of the Pasukim from which we learn the concept of Hatzah on Shabbos is a Pasuk in Parshas Vayakel, that people are bringing donations for the Mishkan, and they're bringing much more than necessary, so they make an announcement that nobody should bring any more, by Kolei HaMa'avi, and the people stop bringing. From that we learn from the Pasuk Vayaviru, Kol HaMachna, they made a sound, they made an announcement throughout the camp. From there we learn that Hotzah is considered a Malacha, because the Pasuk says over there that they announced that nobody should do any more Malacha for the Terumah HaKadosh. So we learn from that taking something out is a Malacha. Now, what are they doing over there? They're taking from their houses, from their tents, whatever, into Rosh Hashanah Abim. Therefore, from there we see there's a Malacha of taking something out into Rosh Hashanah Abim. You don't have from there explicitly taking something in from Rosh Hashanah Abim into the houses. It doesn't spell that out over there, because you don't have. When it came to doing the Malacha for the Mishkan, they're doing it outdoors. They're doing it outdoors. They're doing it in Rosh Hashanah Abim. They're taking from their house and bringing it to where they need. And
going through
Rosh Hashanah Abim. Yeah, but they're not.
And they're not making halacha.
No, well, they're making a halacha in Rosh Hashanah Abim in front of the person who needs that particular item.
The Mishkan
once built is a Rosh Hashanah Abim, sure, but it wasn't built yet. They're working on it now.
It wasn't swinging around the
glass. No, not necessarily. Yeah. So if you're going to say that the Av Malacha is the taking something out into Rosh Hashanah Abim, and you're going to say, therefore, that the Tolda is the bringing something in, So you have two kinds of, you only have two. So what do you mean, Shehein Abba? V'chitema mehen l'chiyu v'mehen l'ptur. So you're going to say, okay, when the Mishnah mentions there in Shavuot, when it mentions Shtayim Shehein Abba, then it means you have four kinds of hatsais, but two of them make him chayev and two of them make him potter. Because again, two of them involve where the one person did the whole akira and hanacha, and the other two involve where one did the akira. Where one did the Akira and the other one did the Hanacha. So you're going to say, therefore, that the Mishnah there, when it says Shtayim Shein Abba, fine, it's not getting into the details because that's not the place in Masechta Shavuos to talk about Hilchos Shabbos. But you're going to say that it means that you have Shtayim, which are Chayev, and Shtayim more, which are Potter. The problem with that is, but we have it in the same breath as we said, Maris Negoyim, or Shtayim Shein Abba, where Ma Hosam Kula L'Chiyuva, where all four Maris Negoyim make the person Chayev, make the person Tomei, the same thing over here. The Shtayim Shein Abba that's mentioned over there should all be ones that make him Chayev on a Daraisa level. What are you telling me that two of them are going to be things that are not going to be Chayev on a Daraisa level? Then it wouldn't be similar to Maris Negoyim. Now, Tosis mentions, you do have over there, among the Maris Negoyim, in effect, you have Ovis and Toldos as well. Because you have the two primary ones, Baheres and Seis, are called the Ovis, and the other two are considered Toldos. But the difference is, Tosis says, okay, at least the Toldos of Negoyim, it says explicitly in the Pasuk. It says Tapachas, and we learn from that the Toldos. Shabbos doesn't even say explicitly Toldos. So therefore, there's less reason for the Mishnah to be mentioning them if you're not Chayiv on them anyway.
The question is,
why over there is it saying Shtayim Shein Abba? If it was going into details like it did over here and saying Shtayim Shein Abba, Nemo Shtayim Shein Abba, Chos, okay, so I want to mention all eight scenarios. But given that anyway over there, we're only mentioning four because we want to keep it short over there because there it's not the primary place for Hilchos Shabbos, why are we saying in a way that implies that we have two which are Chayev and two which are Potter, where instead it should be doing all four which are Chayev? Hello, I'm going to pop up, and the Papa says, no, a little bit differently. No, what it is like this. Over here, because the main place to talk about Hilchos Shabbos, Tani Chiyuvi Yoturi. Therefore, the Mishnah has to mention over here all the cases, the ones where you chayev and the ones where you potter. Hosam, the Lav Iker Shabbos, whereas over there, when it's not the primary place to talk about Shabbos, so not like we thought that it meant that it's mentioning some of the Chiyuvim and some of the Pturim, two of one and two of the other. No, all four that I mentioned over there, the Shtayim Shein Abba, Chiyuvi Tani, Pturim Lai Tani. It's only mentioning the cases where he's Chayev, not the cases where he's Potter. So out of the eight cases in our Mishnah, four of them are Chayev, two cases of Al-Bas is Chayev, two cases of Ani is Chayev. Therefore, in Shabbos, we have eight cases of which four, you have somebody is Chayev, two of them where the Balabas is Chayev, two of them where the Ani is Chayev. You have four more where neither one is Chayev because the Shnayim Shasua. Over there, in Shavuos, we're not focusing on the ones that are Potter at all. Yes, we want it to be like Maris Negoyim, where all four of them are Chayev. Okay, so Shtayim Shein Abba means four cases, those two cases, which then result in four, where somebody is Chayev. So it's not mentioning the other four where everybody is Potter.
And that answers which question?
That answers the question that it's similar, that has to be similar to Maris Negoyim. So on the one hand, it doesn't mention over there the whole detail, Shtayim Shein Abba, Nemo Shtayim Shein Abba Bachot, because over there, it's not the Tana's job to teach us Hilchos Shabbos. He's only mentioning Shtayim Shein Abba briefly, along with all the other ones. But unlike the first answer, where we thought that Shtayim Shein Abba means two where he's Chayev and two where he's Potter, now we're saying it means all four where he's Chayev. Two where he's Chayev and two more that we can deduce from them where he's also Chayev. One each for the Balabas, two each for the Balabas and the Aniyah. Okay, so Chiyuvim Mai Niri Yitzias. Okay, so what are the Chiyuvim? What are the cases where the person is Chayev? When we say the word Yitzias implies Hatzah, implies taking something out from Rishos HaYachid into Rishos HaRabim. Yitzias Tauti Habim. Well, they only have two. Stein, so they only have two. You have one case where the Balabas does the Hatzah from his house into the hand of the Ani. One where the Ani does the Hatzah, taking from the Balabas's hand and taking it outward, you only have two. Where is the Shehein Arba? The answer is, we have two that involve Hotzah and two more that involve Achnasa, because you have the two other cases. You have where the Oni put something in through the window and put it in the Balabas's hand. That's one kind of Achnasa. The other one where a Balabas reaches out, takes something from the Oni's hand, and brings it inside. That's another Achnasa. So there's your Shehein Arba. The problem with that is, So you have two, that involves two, no, so you have all together, you have, so all together you have four, but you have two hatsoi, two that involve taking something that was in Rosh Hashanah, that was in Rosh Hashanah and putting it out in Rosh Hashanah, and two more that involve also transfers, but the other way around, hachnasa, bringing it in. The problem with that is, v'hayitziyos katani, the Mishnah over there uses the word yitziyos, which implies bringing something out. So what are you telling me that it's also meant to include? So in other words, again, in the previous answer, we were saying there are four kinds of yitziyos, but two of them are chayev and two of them are potter. Again, one which is chayev is for the balabas, where he takes something from inside his house and puts it into the oni's hand, where he's waiting outside. Another one where the oni reaches into the house, takes something from the balabas's hand and brings it outside. Those would be two yitziyos that are chayev. Then you'd have two more yitziyos that are potter, also all involved in bringing something out to Rosh Hashanah, where the balabas keeps his hand in, where the balabas sticks his hand outside and the oni takes something from it. Or where the balabas, or where the oni sticks his hand in and the balabas takes something from it. So those you would have. So the other way around. Sorry, where the balabas sticks out his hand and the oni takes something from it. Or where the oni sticks his hand in and the balabas puts something in it. So in those cases, so you would have those all four. You involve something taken out to Rosh Hashanah and to a chayev and to a potter. So that would explain the word yitzias. But if we're saying now that doesn't work because two of those cases they're both potter, and we want it to be that all four cases over there are chayev, just like maris negoyim, then you have to say that. I mean, two hatsoros and two achnasis. The problem is it's using the word yitzias, which means taking out. Yeah. The answer is Amar Ravashi Tana Hachnasa Nami Hatsar Karila. The answer is the Tana uses the word Hatsar to also include Hachnasa. It means both. The word Hatsar means taking something from one Rishus to another, regardless whether it's taking it into the house or out of the house. So that answers the question, therefore. So we have two Hatsars, and we have, deriving from them, we have two Hachnasas, all four of which somebody is Chayav, either the Oni or the Balabas, as the case may be. Mimai, how do we know that the Tana uses the word Hatsar generically to also include Achnasa? Midizan, because we learn in a Mishnah later in the seventh Perek, when we talk about the 39 Malachas, the last one on the list is Hamotzi Mirashus L'Rishus Chayev. When somebody takes something out from one Rishus to another, he's Chayev. Now, what do you mean taking out? Miloy Askinen to come Ayom Mirashus Arabim L'Rishus Yachid. Now, Hatsar, Hamotzi Mirashus L'Rishus, also includes taking something out, taking something in from Rishus Arabim into Rishus Yachid. It's also included after all because the fact is we know that the malacha of Hatsar Mirashus L'Rishus involves in either direction. And we know that it includes Achnasa on the basis of our Mishnah. So therefore, and Ebukakori La Hotsa. And yet our Mishnah uses the word Hotsa for it. Yet that the Mishnah over there, rather, in the seventh paragraph, uses the word Hotsa for it.
So there we know that Hotsa means in both
directions. See that Hotsa means in both directions. Yeah. The time of Mai, so why indeed is both Hotsa and Achnasa both referred to using the word Hotsa? The reason is because anything that involves picking something up from the place where it was, is the Tana is calling it Hotsa. It's being taken out of the current Rishus where it's in and being brought to another Rishus. So even Rishus Ramasham, Rishus Yachid, where it's going inward into the house or into the chot or whatever, it's still called Hotsa because it's being taken out from where it was located until now. So therefore, it can be called under the term Hotsa. Amar Ravina Masnitin Nami Deka. Ravina says, in fact, you see from our Mishnah itself that the word Hotsa includes Achnasa. The Chatoni Yitzias, because the Mishnah had begun Yitzias the Shabbos, become Farish Knossa La'alto. And what's the first case the Mishnah is talking about? It's a case of bringing something in, where the Oni sticks his hand in and puts something in the Balabas's hand. So therefore, so right after, so the Mishnah had said Yitzias the Shabbos, but the very next thing is putting something in. So you see clearly from that, without even referring to the seventh paragraph, we see that the word Hotsa therefore also means bringing something inward. So first thing, Mar thought to bring a raya from the seventh paragraph from Hamotzi Mirashus L'Rishus. Now Rav Yehuda is saying you don't even need that. You can see that directly from our Mishnah. Rava Omar, Rava says a different answer. When we talk about the Shtayim Shein Arba, the Shtayim Shein Arba in Masechta Shavuos, Rava says Rishuyas Katani. The answer is that the Mishnah, when it says over there, Yitzias HaShabbos, Shtayim Shein Arba, it means there are two Rishuyas. Shtayim, there are two Rishuyas, Rishus HaYochid and Rishus HaRabim, because on a Daraisa level, you don't have Karmelis, that comes up only the Rabbanon, and Mokum Ptur is not relevant to the dinim of carrying on Shabbos, you're allowed to. So you only have, in terms of the dinim of carrying on Shabbos, you have Rishus HaYochid and Rishus HaRabim. That's what it means over there, Shtayim, Shehein Arba, and through them, you have four Isurim, Bifnim and four Isurim Bachutz. So again, all the ones in Shavuos are L'chiyuv. We're still using what we're saying, that all of them are L'chiyuv. There's four transfers that involve L'chiyuv, because we said it has to be similar to Maris Negoyim. But on the other hand, we have, what does it mean, Shtayim Shein Arba? Doesn't mean two, as in Hatzah, and then from them we derive two Achnosis, but rather two Rishuyos, from which we get altogether four types of transfers.
Two
Rishuyas, which is the Yochid and Rishuyas.
Instead of two transfers.
Instead, we thought that Shtayim Shein Arba means two Hatzahs, two taking something out into Rishuyas Rabim. And from them, we also derive two that you're bringing in from Rishuyas Rabim. So Rava is saying, you don't need that. Shtayim Shein Arba means two Rishuyas, from which altogether you can get four types of transfers, which are Chayiv, and four more, which are Potter. Tosfos, in fact, points out that a Rishus can actually be called a Hitzah. We have a Tosfos point from a Pasuk that says, V'hoyu Tosav Hayama, that the end of the border should be to the sea, and that the translation, Targum Onkelos, translates Yitzias as Yashvose, Meloshin Rishus. So you see that there's a connection between Hitzah and Rishus. So by the way, our Mishnah has not really dealt with at all the matter of transferring within Rishus HaRabim and carrying four Amos. The Gemara is going to start taking up that point. Really, ultimately, what it is it amounts to the same thing, because the Gemara explains in Eruvin that a person's Rishus is four Amos. So therefore, when he's carrying outside four Amos, that amounts to he's carrying from his own personal Rishus within Rishus HaRabim into another part of Rishus HaRabim. So
when he's standing on the line, the divide of Rishus HaRabim and Rishus HaYachid, but it's within these four Amos.
Still not allowed to take something across in Rishus HaRabim. The fact that there is a Rishus HaYachid over there, it has a separate Rishus. But if he's standing in the middle of Rishus HaRabim, then he has four Amos. He has four, not necessarily in each direction. Well, yeah, in each direction. He has four Amos. And therefore, he is, as we mentioned before, he's allowed to carry something within that four Amos.
Right.
And that, because that's all still considered his Rishus. Right now, he's standing over there, and that becomes his temporary Rishus in Rishus HaRabim. If he were to take something outside four Amos, then he's taking it from his own personal mini Rishus HaYachid into Rishus HaRabim, and that would be all.
That wasn't my question. My question is can these Arba Amos be divided between two Rishus?
No, it cannot.
It cannot. So what is it? What happens then?
So then that's it. Once
when he stands, he saddles both Rishus.
If he's straddling both Rishus, then it's not so simple, because then if he's taking something from one Rishus and putting it in another.
He's saddling both.
Yeah.
But he's not moving, but he's moving it within his own other Amos.
Doesn't matter. No, well, is he moving it in Rishus HaRabim? Yeah.
So he's saddling both.
Yeah. Straddling. Yeah.
But he's moving it within his Arba'amas from one side to another.
What between Rishus HaYachid and Rishus HaRabim?
Yeah.
Also, the fact
even though
it's his Arba'amas, because the fact is, what you have is, the rule is, you have to, if it's a separate Rishus, Rishus HaYachid versus Rishus HaRabim, or if it's outside of his four Amas in Rishus HaRabim. Those two, it's one or the other, either one is also.
It's either one.
Either one, yeah.
He's crossing over
from one Rishus to another. So one way of doing that is where there's an actual separation of Rishuyas, a fence between one and the other, for example. And the other one is where there's no separation, but he's standing there in the middle of Rishus HaRabim, and beyond his four Amos is already considered a separate Rishus.
No, but that's another.
That's what we're talking about. So you have two cases.
Those
are the two cases.
Other.
Yeah.
So when, in this specific case, where he's Rishus, straddles between two, he's Arba'amas.
Doesn't matter. No,
two
he's still,
curious,
no.
We don't consider
that. That's not
so he doesn't have Arba'amas, basically.
Well, he has Arba'amas on one side, and Rishus HaYachid. We're actually, in the Mishnayos, in the last Perek in Eruvin, it talks about how, for example, you have cases where a person is allowed to be standing in one Rishus and doing something in the other Rishus. Depends, there are certain cases where he's allowed and certain cases where he's not carrying something from one Rishus into another.
Well,
because so there's
that.
No, that's fine, because he's standing, for example, in Rishus HaRabim and opening a door in Rishus HaYachid. So fine, he's allowed to do that. He's not carrying something from one Rishus. He's not moving something from one Rishus into another. That kind of thing is allowed, although in certain cases you have Xeris Dirabonon on it, so he doesn't come to carry from one Rosh Hashanah to another. We'll get to that at the end of Eruvin, Be'ez Hashem.
When he's carrying,
but carrying
within his own Rosh Hashanah, the straddles.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that he's straddling. The fact that it's from one Rosh Hashanah, from Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, into Rosh Hashanah Yochid is also. If he were to move something within four Amos in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, that would be allowed. If he were to move something within Rosh Hashanah Yochid, that's allowed. But to move something from one Rosh Hashanah to another is not allowed.
Even if it's in
within his Arbamas. Okay.
So then, in that case, we will consider that he has two Arbamas, one in the on the right, one on the
side. I guess
you
could say that in a certain sense, yeah.
Right.
I mean, Rosh Hashanah Yochid is not really relevant to talk about his four Amos. The whole Rosh Hashanah Yochid is mostly for him to carry in.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Sure.